Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of the Dolphins in Depth podcast. I'm Daniel, your 3C. That is David Neal. Thanks so much for tuning in. Quick reminder before we start, make sure to subscribe to the Miami Herald YouTube page. Like, share, comment, as well as subscribe to the Miami Herald. Now, we are back for another episode past the first wave of free agency. The last time we recorded, the Dolphins had made a couple moves. They made a lot of moves, a lot more moves. Since then, the roster is starting to take shape. We got a nice little, you know, free agent class that we can start to break down. The Dolphins even earlier today, re-signing guys, bringing in some more guys, some competition, some potential starters. And again, you know, it was all doom and gloom in the early stages of free agency. But they've quickly worked to retool the roster. We got a lot to break down and look ahead to in this latest pod. And we are going to start with, you know, analyzing this first wave of free agency because it was a whirlwind. It really was. Long days, long nights, recapping some Dolphins moves, you know, as early as 5-6 in the morning, as late as midnight. But that's just what you signed up for when you're an NFL reporter. But yeah, the Dolphins were hard at work this past week. With various moves, they look to kind of retool this roster, kind of going straight into it with some of the losses and then the additions. As we mentioned before last week, when we recorded, you know, some big names leaving the Dolphins: Christian Wilkins, Robert Hunt, Raekwon Davis, Andrew Van Ginkle, Cedric Wilson Jr., Brandon Jones, and Sean Elliott. A lot of turnover on the Dolphins roster, but they've been active themselves, like I said. You know, dating back to even before the start of free agency, bringing in Jonnu Smith, Shaq Barrett, Aaron Brewer, Jordan Brooks, Anthony Walker, Jordan Poyer, Saran Neal, Jody Fortson, and a host of defensive linemen. Five, to be exact: Neville Gallimore, Jonathan Harris, Benito Jones, Avea Mack, and Davion Nixon. So the Dolphins are going to have a very different looking team, especially on defense. I want to kick it off with you, David. When you look at the moves that the Dolphins made, some of the guys they lost, and just overall the work that they put in this first week, this first wave of free agency, whatever you want to call it, what grade would you give the Dolphins? And what was your maybe favorite move in the first wave of signings?
Oh, yes, the lovely lovely and vaunted grades that we give opinions that we never have to answer for when they're monumentally wrong months later. You know what? I'll give them a B minus because they rebounded. They did what they needed to do. They filled a lot of holes, and they filled them the way they needed to. You know, they were in a situation that they, you know, you're not going to get out of without some bruising, and you know they got bruised, but they did. Like I said, they filled holes. Probably my favorite move, I think, was probably the Kendall Fuller move. At corner, I like that one. You know, it gives you two solid corners again, two very good corners. And sorry, my afternoon colada must have worn off. Two solid corners, and you know, you need that in any defense in the NFL today. And also, it's two versatile corners who can play in a lot of places. You can do a lot. You can just do a lot of things with them. So, that's probably my favorite move of the many. The rest were, there were some nice moves and some good pickups. It'll be interesting to see how this shakes out because, I don't know that the Dolphins are as good defensively as they were before this all started, but I don't know. Maybe it's back to being good enough.
Yeah, I was gonna say you stole the words right out of my mouth with the Kendall Fuller sign. I'm gonna give them a solid B. I think that you have to, I mean, you have to recognize the losses that they had. Like on defense, that is significant turnover. Like, and the names I mentioned didn't even include some of the guys that they released before the start of free agency, and Emmanuel Ogba and Xavier Howard, Jerome Baker. Like that's like over a half dozen defensive contributors of the past year or so that aren't going to be back. So I think you have to kind of put that like that's part of the grade. You know, that you did lose some guys, but I think they did a really good job of retooling. Like I think when the Exodus first started, and you hear the games like Christian Wilkins, Robert Hunt, Deshaun Elliott, Brandon Jones. When you hear all those names, like and the Dolphins aren't really making moves, like you know, like. You know, the first hour, it's like, all right, like this is going to be a reset year. And especially with the cap situation that they had, like they were, you know, shoot, when the season ended, they were about $40, $50 million over the cap. But they freed a lot of space up. They're able to make some moves. And I think they found some adequate, like, I wouldn't even say like adequate. I would say greater than adequate. You know, you can make an argument that they upgraded in some areas, but they certainly found some guys who can fill in those roles. You mentioned Fuller. That was probably my favorite signing as well. And you mentioned the versatility. Like they have so many options. You know, I wrote about it today. We actually spoke to him earlier today. And he's a guy who started off as a slot cornerback because that's what he was just kind of asked to do and had to do in Washington. And he himself said he thought he was kind of pigeonholed. So he goes to Kansas City. He wins the Super Bowl there. And then he comes back for a second stint in Washington. And now he's playing, you know, outside cornerback as he did in college. And, you know, he's played some really good ball. I know that the raw stats aren't that great in terms of, you know, passer rating. I think he allowed a career high 9 touchdowns last year. But that entire Commanders defense was bad.
Yeah.
So yeah. I don't want to hold that on him. But, you know, you have a guy, he said he wants to play everywhere. You know, he's played outside, inside. He's played safety as well. And then you have a guy like Jalen Ramsey, who it looks like he's definitely going to move around. Unlike he did under Vic Fangio, and a new coordinator, Anthony Weaver, already said that he wants to lean into that skill set. And then you got Keanu Kohu, who's really like a nickel cornerback, but he's played some outside. They re-signed Nick Needham. So, like, you have so many different options. Like, I don't know if necessarily they're going to mix and match, like, every game and whatnot, but I think that the versatility and the diversity of skill sets helps you win. You know, we know the nature of the NFL. You're going to have injuries. You know, guys are not going to be in the lineup for 17 games. So, hey, maybe you do, let's say, you know, God forbid somebody goes down at nickel. You got two guys and Kendall Fuller and multiple guys, honestly, Kendall Fuller, Jalen Ramsey, et cetera, who can fill in, you can mix and match. I think that diversity and that versatility will suit them very well. And I'm really interested in, we talked about it a little bit last week, but I'm really interested in the Aaron Brewer signing because as more information comes out about Connor Williams' situation, it looks like, you know, Aaron Brewer is probably going to be the starting center. Now, when we spoke to him, you know, late last week, he said that, you know, that's not predetermined. You know, it's still up in the air. But he said himself that, you know, center is kind of his destined spot. You know, he's a bit of a smaller offensive lineman, 6'1" or so, 295 pounds. Like, those guys definitely don't play tackle. And we're seeing that a lot of times. You know, he has experience at guard, but he played his entire last season at center where he kind of transitioned over. You know, we've seen this coaching staff get a lot out of, you know, kind of unheralded, you know, offensive linemen, guys who are transitioning. You know, Connor Williams, you know, he had the best ball of his career playing, you know, switching from guard to center. And it looks like the athleticism really fits the skill set, you know, with Aaron Brewer. So, you know, I mean, there's a lot of guys. You know, we talked to Jordan Poyer. I think that could be a great kind of savvy veteran signing. Yeah. And somebody who, you know, they're getting a lot of experience in that secondary now. I think that the mix of that veteran leadership, and then you have a guy like Javon Holland who's up and coming. Mm-hmm. I think that there's a lot of potential with that group as well.
And that's also something I think when you have, I think that's going to help with a new scheme. You know, if you're an older guy, strangely enough, if you've been in the NFL for a while and you've been on a couple different teams, and or even if you've just been on one team, you've probably had to deal with a few different systems, and you know how to adapt. And adaptability is, you know, the key to survival in a lot of places, especially in the NFL. And they're going to have to adapt to a new system. They're going to have to help bring these younger guys along who, they had to adapt for like, 1 year to Fangio system, and now they're kind of okay, what next? Yeah, it's, I think there's also, I think there's all, I don't know. I think there could be some, they got good veteran, I think good possible veteran leadership also. It's not like they didn't have it before, but when you lose it, they lost some of it, and I think they got some back. So, granted those guys haven't been here, but they are still guys who've been around this league for a long time, and I can't, smart guys know who to talk to and who to listen to in the locker room, even if those some of the guys you listen to aren't the guys who always speak up. You know when they speak, you might want to hush up and listen. And I so yeah, like I said, I greater B minus you greater B. They look better than maybe we thought they would a week ago. And yeah, let's see what let's kind of see what happens now going into the draft.
You mentioned the leadership aspect. I wish I could like find the tweet and credit whoever put it together. But it was a Dolphins fan, and you had a picture of Kendall Fuller, Jordan Poyer, and Anthony Walker, the inside linebacker who'd be signed for the Browns as well. And all three of those guys had a C on their jersey for captain. So they're definitely adding some veteran leadership as well. And then you mentioned kind of that helping the transition. That was something that Jordan Poyer talked about a lot. He's like, hey, it's going to be a lot of turnover and a lot of new faces and a lot of work to be done. But that's what the OTAs are for, that's what the training camp is for. And I think that having a lot of those vets in there could definitely, lessen the learning curve. So we'll definitely see what happens when they all come together for spring workouts and then obviously training camp in the summer.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, we're going to take a short break. When we come back on the other side of things, are the Dolphins actually a better team after the first wave of free agency? And are they in a position where they can just kind of go best player available in the draft, target certain positions? We're going to discuss that and more on the other side of things. So stay locked with us. We'll be back soon. What's going on, everybody? Still here on the Dolphins and that podcast with David Neal talking all things Dolphins. Now the first half, we broke down the Dolphins' first wave of free agency, which was, again, like I said, a whirlwind of 7 days of departures, additions, re-signings, and it continued even today with the team officially re-signing Isaiah Wynn, who started 7 games at left guard. They brought in Jack Driscoll, former Eagles offensive lineman, who has 17 games of experience. They're bringing in got more offensive linemen and players for visits. So they're continuing to kind of turn every stone for additions. The draft is about a month away or so, maybe 5 weeks away. And that seems to be what's going to be an active weekend for the Dolphins. Maybe the first in a couple of years, because as we know, the Dolphins have made a habit of trading their first round picks, trading some of their high picks. But right now, they look
or losing them.
Or losing them. That's a good point. That's a very good point. I was going to say they have a third round pick this year. That's forfeited as well. But they look like they're poised to use some high draft picks for the first time in a couple of years. But before we really get into that, we talked about we broke down some of like our favorite moves from the first half. But I really want to for the first wave of free agency. But I really want to get into like the nitty gritty. Like, is the team better? We gave grades, but I want to really break it down because again, I think the Dolphins have had some they found a really good value. I think that's the best way to describe their start to free agency. They found a really, really good value. Like, if you look at some of these contracts that they've given out, they've been very meticulous and careful with kind of the guarantees after the first year, adding void years to kind of spread out the cap hits and whatnot. But I think that when I look at the team as currently constructed, and again, there's several months until the final iteration of this team, or the 2024 iteration of this team, really takes shape and plays games that really matters. But I look at the Dolphins free agency through the lens of what kind of failed them last year, which I think was kind of the trenches. I would say definitely the trenches on either side of the ball. Whether it was offense not being able to run block against some of the better teams, pass protect for long moments against some of the better teams. And I look on the other side of the ball, the pass rush kind of failing them, obviously with the injuries. And I don't know if the additions yet have been marginal, have been significant enough to say that they've like marginally improved. Like, have they, and obviously, other teams are losing players or adding players as well, but I just kind of look at the Dolphins, in a vacuum. I'm still not sure if they've gotten better there. Now, I will say on the offensive side of the ball, I think that especially in the past 24 hours or even I could say 12 hours with, the re-signing of Isaiah Wynn and the signing of Jack Driscoll, who, again, he started 17 games. Looks like he might compete at right guard. I feel a lot better about where the Dolphins are on the offensive line because they just have more depth. I don't know if they have, they have more quantity. I don't know if the quality is, an overall upgrade. But they have some guys in there that can at least compete and maybe able to step in there and get the job done. But I don't think that's a given. I don't know if you can look at the five offensive linemen that they had last year or finished the season with and look at the five that they have right now and say that it's for sure a significantly better group. I look at the defensive side of the ball where I mentioned before they brought in a lot of guys on the defensive line. But I don't know if any of those, I don't think any of those guys is going to give you Christian Wilkins production. And it doesn't look like they're trying to find one guy to replace Christian Wilkins. It looks like it's mostly going to be, which makes sense.
Yeah.
But it doesn't, even if it's by a committee approach, I don't know if you can say, the Dolphins off the defensive line is as good as it was last year. I don't know if you can say that even with the kind of the mass addition that they've made. What do you think about that, especially on the offensive and defensive line? Because I think that Jonnu Smith is kind of a low value move, but it's something that you can get excited about because he's going to catch passes. Look at Jordan Porter, that's a familiar name that's produced. But I think that really, again, what the Dolphins needed this offseason was to get better in the trenches, and I don't know if they've done it. That's not the only thing they needed to do, but I think that's the most important thing.
Well, and to take your point even further, is this group the group that on, what was it, 3rd-and-1 in the playoff game, is this the group that can just, that the coaching staff would feel comfortable just lining up and saying, okay, we're just going to go get this yard? Because they clearly didn't feel comfortable doing that with the group they had that they finished that was in the game at that point. Mm-hmm. And as you said, it's not, I think it's also a type of mentality and a type of lineman. If you had a more physical lineman who might not be as good a player overall, but is of a more physical type, you might, there's a push-pull there that you might say, okay, you can live with that because the Dolphins need a little more road grader in the line. A little more push, a little more physical, a little more, we're going to get those yards when we need them. And it's not just going to be on, some type of running scheme that's a little deceptive. It's not like their backs aren't physical. They've got physical backs, but there is not a just straight ahead, okay, we're going to get these couple yards that we really need. And as you said, on the defensive side of the ball, you know, nobody's going to replace Christian Wilkins. It's just, I mean, there's a reason Christian Wilkins got the money he got, because there's not a lot of guys who can do what he can do. So, you know, he got the big bag, and, you know, the Dolphins are now have to, you know, deal with the fact they're not going to get the same, you know, push in the pocket. They're not going to get the same, you know, they're not going to create the same matchup problem inside. Does that mean they can't be better defensively? No, I mean, they can be better defensively. Oh, can they be? Yeah. Yeah, I think they can be. But to definitively look at the roster and say they are, we can do that. But I don't think they are. I don't think they are disastrously worse. You know,
they're probably in the same tier. I mean, they're probably a 10 win team, and it kind of depends on health and, you know, some guys, you know, staying healthy and, continuing to make ascensions, you know, some young guys stepping up.
Which is where, you know, a certain chunk of the NFL is after you get past the teams that you see as elite and, you know, even if you look at Kansas City's roster and go, we're still gonna put them in that group and say, yeah, they're probably an elite team until they show us they're not. I mean, you know, they spent 15, 16 weeks showing us they're not an elite team, but they're the ones holding the Super Bowl trophy again at the end of the season. So, aside from that small group up top where you've got, you know, I don't know, 3-4 teams where you look at their roster and you look at their setup and everything, and you go, okay, that's, you know, that's a Super Bowl contending team. Then you have a good chunk of 8, 9, 10 teams that you go, yeah, if everything falls right, if everything goes well, you know, they get a career year out of somebody, you know, yeah, they're a contender. And I think that's where the Dolphins are. But that in that same tier, you know, you're 2 or 3 bad injuries from having a lost season. So, you know.
Yeah. That's I mean, the way I see it is, again, like what I've kind of mentioned before, you know, several times in the past, you know, I think on the defensive side of the ball, the significant amount of turnover is something that I still have my eyes on. Like, I know that Anthony Weaver comes very, he's very respected. He comes very well regarded and recommended. But we just don't know. Like, you just don't know how he's going to be. I mean, obviously, like, you know, I don't want to, I kind of discount the time that he spent with the Houston Texans that one season, because that was just kind of a mess of the season. I think this is going to be a little better of a situation in terms of personnel and kind of the overall environment. But we just don't know how somebody's, like, truly going to be in that role. And then again, you just mentioned all the new guys. I mean, off the top of my head, they're probably going to have, you know, 5 or 6 new starters in there, like day one starters. Still don't know about Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb. Obviously, they signed Shaq Barrett, who I think could be kind of a sneaky move, kind of like a Melvin Ingram type of move a couple years back, where he was, you know, at one point looked like their best pass rusher. But I really like to see them get another one just to have a solid kind of 2-man rotation, like a, you know, a first team, second team rotation of guys. And, you know, Barrett kind of mentioned himself. He's like, hey, you know, if I got to hold it down until they come back, you know, great. And then once they get back, like, we're really going to be a well-oiled machine where you just kind of rotate guys in. So I'd love to see them add another legitimate pass rusher, maybe like a Jadeveon Clowney or a Kyle Van Noy, two guys who are with Weaver in Baltimore. Those guys know the system, could come in and, you know, again, they're not going to give you 60 snaps a game, but in the early part of the season, they can give you a little something. And then once Phillips and Chubb get back, you know, you just rotate guys in there, you know, fresh bodies every now and then. Before we wrap, I want to kind of look ahead to the draft. And again, I mean, I think that the Dolphins' heavy lifting has been done. Obviously, they're going to get about $18 million in cap space in June, the beginning of June, once the Xavier Howard cut kind of goes through in terms of the cap savings. But has this first wave of free agency kind of changed the way you think the Dolphins should approach the draft? Because I'm kind of the mindset that I would love for them to just, like, obviously I think that they usually do best player available, but I want to put a caveat on it. Like, I think that they're in a position where, like, you go best available trench player, know, if it's a guard, if it's a tackle, if it's a defensive lineman, I guess I'll even throw edge rusher in there because I know that there's some names that might be available at pick number 21. I would love to see them do best trench player available with that first pick and then kind of go from there and really, really solidify this team that they put together.
Yeah, they're in a – I think they're in a position where they have to fill holes.
I don't know if they have holes yet. I don't know if they have any holes remaining. Except for defensive tackle, I would say.
Let me tell you what. If you're taking a player at 21, he should fill a spot on your – on your roster, and if he's a trench player, if he's on either line, I should hope he could beat out who's there. You know, if he can't, then why are you taking him? Why are you spending the first round pick on him? You know, if you're down the standings, you know, you take best player available because you have, you know, you need talent, you need ability, and. You know, it really doesn't matter where you have it. And if you have too much of it in one area, you try to trade it, whatever, for something else. But, you know, the Dolphins are in a position where, yeah, you draft to need. And, I'd love a rookie with a, you know, kind of head banging, whatever, the old John Madden, you know, in the mud, blah, 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 you know, love to get out there and get dirty and hard and hit and everything, mentality. You know, I think that's needed definitely on the offensive side of the ball. Defensively, it's hard to pass up a good pass rusher. If one's available, it really is hard to pass it up, and you can never have too many of them in the current NFL. That said, you know, teams haven't completely abandoned the run. You know, despite you know the
teams are teams have run teams have actually run more the past couple of years.
Yeah, because teams have gotten goes in cycles. You got creative coaches. They're like, hey, wait a minute. Okay, we got a quarterback who can, you know, dual threat quarterback. Everybody has one, it seems like, except for the Dolphins. And, we can make him a runner and he's a threat. And, you know, we can do this with the running game. And so, but still in all, like I've said before, I think it's funny that Bill Walsh, I think, had it right 1,000 years ago, and it's still true today. You know, you want that pass rush late in the game, and if you don't have it, you're in trouble in most NFL games. And so, yeah, you want it. You know, a good pass rush is hard to pass up. But, you know, that said, you know, if you get somebody who can, you know, stuff the run or just wreak havoc inside, you know, even if they don't get you a lot of sack, they set the table for other people to get to the quarterback. And they can scoop up the run. Yeah, you need that kind of guy. You need that kind of guy. And I agree with you. It needs to be an inside player. And but they need to draft a need. This is not a team that just
we got that telepathy. I would not mind a wide receiver at 21. I know that when you have Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, that might seem more like a luxury, but I think that would be a sneaky, interesting addition, short term, long term, and I think it would fill a need. I think that number three wide receiver is a bigger need than some people might think. Again, when you have Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill taking up a ton of targets, I think it's a sneaky need for them. I mentioned it before. Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle both have I don't want to say injury concerns, but they've dealt with injuries in their time in Miami. The Dolphins limit their snaps a lot, so you have them on the sideline watching for. You know, they're playing around 60% of the snaps, where a lot of number one, number two wide receivers, they're playing just about every snap. The Dolphins don't do that. They will take those guys in and stay fresh. When you look at, obviously, you know, Tyreek turning 30, no more guaranteed money after next year. Again, he's one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, but you just never know what happens when you turn 30. Jalen Waddle, obviously, he's supposed to be a big part of their future. But I think that this is a move where you could kind of plan for the future, but also get, you know, immediate returns, especially because, you know, they're running a ton of three wide receiver sets anyway. So it's not like there aren't snaps for a number three wide receiver, a first round pick to get. You know, they re-signed Braxton Berrios, but and I know I think Robbie Chosen visited the team. But you know, Cedric Wilson signed elsewhere, River Craycraft, Chase Claypool, those guys are still free agents. I think that there is a I would say that number three wide receiver is a need if you want to categorize it like that.
It's not a need on the level of the other whatever else we just mentioned. That's a later in the draft. This is a first round pick. This guy's gonna be a starter. Jonnu Smith for the type of player he is. Like they're gonna want to get him the ball in space. Also,
let me give you a hypothetical. The Dolphins are at number 21. You have the number four wide receiver on the board. Let's say it's, I guess in this case, it'd be like a Brian Thomas from LSU. And, you know, don't need to get into the types of players they are, but let's say that he's the number four wide receiver on the Dolphins board. The defensive tackle draft is not, the class is not highly regarded. I think there's probably two guys who are for sure going to be first round picks. And after that, it's kind of a crapshoot. So let's say the top two defensive tackles are off the board, and you don't have the first round grade on the next guy. And some of the top edge rushers, pass rushers are off the board, outside linebackers, those are not there. So if you're picking between like the fourth wide receiver who has a number one first round grade, and maybe the third or fourth defensive tackle outside linebacker who you have a later grade on, are you sticking? Because again, the Dolphins usually go best player available, but are you bypassing that guy to take somebody who feels the need, but maybe isn't as good, you know, right now, and the ceiling maybe isn't as high as well.
What grades do I have in my offensive linemen?
Ah, man, you didn't mention that as well. I mean, hey, let's say it's the same thing. Let's say it's just about even, but maybe he's a little lower rated than the wide receiver, the number four wide receiver you have. I think that's what it's going to look like. I think that there's going to be some fringe offensive line prospects, some fringe first round offensive line prospects, pass rushers, and then you're going to have a really good wide receiver that might drop to you. You know, one or two that might be available at 21. That, hey, it's like, hey, we don't need a number one wide receiver, but we have a guy who can catch 50 passes, and those are going to be some really, really impactful receptions. And then in a year or two, he's my number one wide receiver. He's my number two wide receiver. I think that's the type of situation you're going to look at. When you have to pick a wide receiver at 21, or if there is one available that you like at 21.
I'm not a fan of it. I'm not a fan of it. I mean, this team, yes, you have to slightly plan for the future. You definitely have to plan for the future, obviously.
Chris said, you always plan for the future when you make moves.
You're right. You always plan for the future. But you need to look at right now. I think they need to look at a little bit of right now. And let's address your need. If the players that address those needs that we discussed really are, if you really have like a mid second round, low second round grade on them, and you're sitting there at one in the first round, yeah, you really don't want to overdraft that far. But you know, then you might slap back and go, okay, you know, what's our next best player available? You know, what it's, you know, is it a linebacker? Is it a safety? Is it, you know, where else are we? You know, I can see you're thinking, and a a first round pick as a third wide receiver if he can play. You know, he probably playing in the slot, or I mean, as you pointed out, they rotate those guys in and out, so he's going to get his reps out on the outside. He's going to get his snaps on the outside. Maybe, but I still like going for Need. I still like plugging Needs because I feel like you do that. You make a strong area stronger when you have holes that can be filled. I just think that's the type of thing that you might regret come about October. You know, and you're sitting there going, boy, we really wish we were better at that. We knew we really weren't, you know, we could have done something about that. But, well, you know.
I was going to say October is around the time they start to lose Isaiah Wynn. Connor Williams went down with an injury. So, you know, we did start to see that attrition early on the offensive line. And I don't think that the offensive line is a finished product by any means. But I do think that wide receiver, I know our own Barry Jackson, not too long ago, tweeting out that number three wide receiver is very much a priority to some inside the Dolphins, and they're exploring all external options. I think that there is some juice that you could add to this offense, an already really good offense, even though I don't disagree with you at all that I think that the trenches still need to be addressed. But it could be an enticing option at number 21 for sure. So we're still weeks and weeks ahead. The Dolphins are deep into their pre-draft process. They got coaches all across the NFL at pro days. I know UM just had their pro day early Monday. Again, draft in about a month. So still could be some moves that the Dolphins making free agency that shape the free agency, the draft process. So we'll definitely see what happens between now and then. All right. That brings us to the end of another edition of the Dolphins of Death podcast. I want to thank you guys as always for tuning in. Reminder to like, subscribe to Miami Herald YouTube page, like, share, comment, as well as subscribe to the Miami Herald. We'll be back next week. That one.
Yeah.
We'll be back next week. This time next week, I'll be in Orlando, headed up north for the owners' meetings. We're going to get a chance to speak to Mike McDaniel's first comments since the Dolphins' mad dash in free agency. We'll get some comments on some incoming players, some departing players. Might get to talk to some coaches around the league. You know, the owners' meetings includes the AFC coaches, a little breakfast, brunch, whatever you want to call it, as well as the NFC coaches as well. So we'll have a whole bunch of NFL dignitaries, I guess you could say, in Orlando. And I'll be definitely, if you want to call it that, you know. And I'll give you
muckety mucks.
Mucking it up, yeah. And I'll have to
muckety mucks, yeah.
From the Dolphins side. But until then, we'll see you next week. Until then, you guys take care. See ya.